Couple of divisions being hammered out and week 12 game picks. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Yes, I am usually the producer of this show. I've moved myself behind the scenes to help sort of segment the show, pick out some topics for Chris and CJ and also Tuck to cover. But for this one, this one's a special episode. You know why? Chris, why?
It's episode 400.
Episode 400. And we'll have some words to say at the end of the show. I certainly will. But it's been a long five years, December 9th, 2020, when we started this show. And now here we are. It's 2025. And we have covered, I believe it's six different seasons. We covered 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. Now we're on to 25. So a lot of things have changed during the course of this show. But without further ado, let's get right into it. We're going to get into some game picks. But first, we're going to get, as usual, our Rooski Game of the Week. And this is a big one because the Rams and Seahawks have the exact same record. They've been world beaters this year. And I have to give it to Sam Darnold. For a second year in a row, this kid is balling out. He's been a bit of a journeyman. Being in on what is it, four teams in the last three seasons? It's been crazy. And despite the amount of travel and different workplaces that Sam Darnold has been to, he has been lighting it up. And with, I believe it's a 17, I don't have the numbers in front of me, 17-6 touchdown to interception ratio. This guy has been awesome. And he has been somewhat of an MVP candidate. And I must also say, one of the best deep ball throwers in the league, while also having one of the better completion percentages in football as well. And that's not to take away from Sam Darnold, who's also, from Matthew Stafford, who's also had an incredible year. And he's currently, based on DraftKings, he is the betting odds favorite to win league MVP. He is having that kind of year. He's had... And he is in a good situation. He has a really good offensive line this year. He has a good defense, great defensive, offensive-minded head coach, as well as Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, who's playing like his vintage self to throw to. Kyren Williams as his running back. So this is a complete situation for Matthew Stafford late in his career. And it feels like we see this a lot with older quarterbacks who are, you know, they may not be at the point where they can do more with less anymore, but they are also guys who, if you surround them with weapons in a good situation, that they can still play like an elite quarterback. We saw that with Peyton Manning. We saw it with Tom Brady. We saw it with Drew Brees. We're seeing it with Matthew Stafford now. But guys, what are your thoughts on this matchup? I'll start with you, Chris.
This is a great matchup. Part of me kind of favors the Rams here at home to start out. And yeah, like you said, Adam, both Stafford and Darnold having career years. We were talking about how great Sam Darnold has been on one of the last episodes. And, you know, we were talking about like Drake May, obviously, like he's our guy. But when you look at all the advanced statistics, we talk about Drake May being in like the top right of all of everything, of all these graphs, especially historical. Well, when you actually look at one of the graphs, Sam Darnold is right up there with him. This season. So obviously got to give him some props. Where isn't Sam Darnold in top 10 as well in the MVP odds? He should be.
I believe he is.
He's up there. He used to be higher. He didn't have the best game, but
yeah, he did not.
Like 44-22 or something like that.
Yeah, the game was over by halftime. It was the last episode we were talking about it. But both teams on a four-game winning streak, but I like the Rams at home in this case. Both teams are riding hot, but in a big game like this, I want to see how I don't know if Sam Darnold is going to be able to perform at a huge level on the road, especially in a big game like this. So I know Stafford can. We all know Stafford can. But in this case, I feel like in this scenario for this season, I see the Rams take, or both teams taking wins at home in this division rivalry. So in this case, give me the Rams.
CJ.
This game of the week for a reason. This is, I mean, granted it's early yet, but for the division lead right now, this is for all the marbles. This is, you win this game, not only do you take the driver's seat of the division, but depending on how things shake out, you could be number one in the entire NFC, your entire conference. You not just the division, but, you know, obviously, like I said, depending on how things shake out, you could lead the conference. Breaking down both of these teams, it's insane. You already mentioned Darnold, but he's great. Obviously, we know that. Over 2,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 picks. That's cool. But for me, let's look at that ground game. Got Kenneth Walker with over 530 yards. Zach Charbonnet with over 300. 9 touchdowns between the two of them. A nice 1-2 punch. Jaxon Smith-Njigba already over 1,000 yards. Steady veteran Cooper Kupp, emerging tight end A.J. Barner, who already has 4 touchdowns on the year. And that defense with 5 players having 5 sacks in Uchenna Nwosu, Leonard Williams, and second-year man Byron Murphy out of Texas. And, yeah. And then the back end, you got some ball hawks. Linebacker Ernest Jones having himself a year with 3 picks already. Derion Kendrick and Kobe Bryant both chipping in with 2 picks as well. So, obviously, these Seahawks, you know, we thought, okay, hey, maybe they'd be good. But I don't think any of them, myself included, expected them to be 7-2. However, if you ask a lot of people, they still have an air of, dare I say, illegitimacy around them. Because if you look at a lot of rankings, be it from amateur pages or the pros of the major networks, you'll notice that even though they lead the Rams, the division, you know, via strength of the like division record or however it is that they are ahead of them in, people still tend to favor the Los Angeles Rams. And obviously, Matt Stafford, 2,400 yards, 25 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. That's probably why. Kyren Williams with over 650 yards on the ground. You know, Devontae Adams turning back the clock. He's already got 9 touchdowns. Puka Nacua over 700 yards. And a defense led by Byron Young with 9 sacks. So when it comes to who I think is going to win this game, I like Seattle with the upset here. First, home field advantage. Obviously, that's huge. Lumen Field, you know, back then it was CenturyLink Field, has been a notoriously tough place to play.
LA.
Wait, it's in LA?
Yeah, it's in LA. Yeah. Yeah, LA is hosting. Per the banner.
I must have been looking at the other one. Then never mind. But either way, I'm still going with the Seahawks. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, when you look at when you look at the stadium at the Chargers and Rams host, it's like, I mean, granted, it's a little better for the Rams, but both teams have to play essentially an away game. And for the Rams, what it comes down to me is defense. They have
Beat up a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Now, I'm just saying, a lot of it's defense. That's the problem. A lot of it is defense. The Rams have a very, very – you see, there's a difference, I think, between a good defense, right, and an explosive defense. The Rams' defense is good. They are not explosive. I would argue that the Seahawks, personally, I feel like their defense is more explosive. I mean, like I said, one guy on the Rams, Byron Young, is 9 sacks, but he's pretty much the only one getting home. The Seahawks have multiple guys who could take the ball away. They have multiple guys getting to the sack. The Rams just have 1 or 2 guys, but for me, it's defense. Defense wins championships, and I trust the Seahawks' defense a little more than I trust the Rams, so give me Seahawks.
Yeah. Rams obviously have home field advantage here, and that's a big one for them. Because I feel like this would be a slam dunk for the Seahawks if this was being played in Seattle. The thing is, I just think that Seahawks front seven has been so good this year. And that's a big reason why I'm actually picking the Seahawks for this one. Games are won and lost in the trenches. You could have the most electric passing game in the history of the league. If you're not able to stay on your feet, then you can't pick apart a defense. It's just that simple. And for that reason, I'm picking the Seahawks to win this one. Defense matters a lot. As CJ mentioned, give me them. Remember the, what was it? Super Bowl 54? It was 55. Chiefs offensive line was completely outmatched from that Buccaneers front seven. And I think that's something to keep in mind when we're talking about games that are won and lost in the trenches with these elite vertical offenses. I feel like Matthew Stafford is going to be overmatched. But this is going to be a very close game. All right. We're going to move on and we're going to get to the early afternoon slate of games, as well as hitting on our early game. It's going to be next. This is the Fumbleroski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumbleroski podcast. Adam Wright, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. We head to our early afternoon slate, but first, we have a matchup and looking for
Dolphins Commanders.
Yeah. Dolphins Commanders. All right. In Madrid, quickly round the table. Who wins?
CJ, you can go first.
Okay. Dolphins, Commanders fans, no Jayden Daniels, no winning. And that offense at least has found its rhythm. So I'm going Dolphins.
I'm also going to reluctantly go Dolphins on this one. It's like Washington was like at first with Mariota was fine, like at the beginning during Daniels' first injury, but Washington's just so depleted that in Miami, like low key kind of hot right now.
I don't see them winning another game. Give me the Commanders. I think they have some pieces around there. They've been injury riddled. But I think Mariota has one win in him. Yeah, give me the Commanders. All right, we move on to our early afternoon slate. And what we're going to lead off with, we've got Bengals visiting the Steelers. Chris.
Unk Bowl 2, baby. Unk Bowl 2. I love it. I absolutely love it. The first rendition... was so electric that God willing gave us a part two. How nice is he? Well, obviously the last time that these two teams played, there wasn't really any defense, of course. And the Bengals won 33-31. The Steelers, I believe, are in this now in that Mike Tomlin cycle where you're looking for everyone, including Mike Tomlin himself, to get fired. They're getting back into that. It's hard to say that the Steelers won't get round two, but I like the Bengals to get it done again. I like Joe Flacco in this offense. Obviously, the defense sucks, but Steelers' pass defense is also pretty terrible. Just give me the Bengals.
Okay. CJ?
I'm also going with Cincy here. I like Joe Flacco sweeping the Unk Bowl, as Chris called it. For once again, I know Bengals don't have any defense, but the Steelers do not have any defense either. And I trust T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and the crew more than I trust DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin.
Yeah. I'm going to go the Steelers. I find it hard to believe that this Steelers team is going to lose two in a row. Aaron Rodgers still... The way I like to describe Aaron Rodgers, his lower half is aged. It's clear he has not been the same with that Achilles tear. He's not quite as mobile, and he's not as good as at throwing off, making off-platform plays as he used to. But his upper half is still there. He still has the arm talent, and he has. This Steelers team is a playoff team. I don't see them losing to the Bengals twice, and they. I think him and DK Metcalf are going to feast off this terrible Bengals team. Yeah, give me the Steelers. All right. Our next matchup, we have the Chargers, who are traveling to Jacksonville. 7-3 Chargers, 5-4 Jaguars, fighting for playoff seeding. Chris, what are you thinking?
I just can't have faith in the Jaguars anymore. Like, this offense, we were talking about this on Tuesday's show. Like, there's nothing, there's no life. Like, you would have thought that maybe Jacoby Myers would be a good fill-in, but like, I mean, Parker Washington's still your freaking leading receiver at the end of the day. Do you guys know Brian Thomas Jr. is also like top five in drop passes this year?
Mm-hmm. He's not having a good year. No,
no, it's
thanks, Shane like, Waldron.
Yep. Fire Shane Waldron. Yeah, so give me the Chargers. I know they're beat up, and when they don't have guys like Joe Alt, because he's out for the year, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Like, that O-line has been known to kind of falter a little bit throughout the season, but you just can't have faith in the Jaguars. Give me the Chargers.
Chris, CJ.
Well, you're technically right.
Yeah, you are technically right about that. Yeah.
Okay, so for the this is You think the Jags should win this game, right? I mean, you think that because I saw a stat that's like 4 out of the 5 current starting Chargers offensive linemen are bottom three in their positions. But I don't think Jacksonville could take advantage of that. If you lost to goddamn General Mills, as he's known, no, I'm sorry. Blowing that three score lead to Davis Longneck Mills, absolutely not. And I, even if the line sucks, Herbert just could get it out faster. Give me the Chargers. Don't really have to think too hard.
I'll go further with that take and the fact that that's a loss that could derail a season. That's a loss that could completely derail a season.
True.
Yeah, it's no Travis Hunter. Brian Thomas has been out and also struggling. You do have Jacoby Myers, but what's he going to do? Well, he's still trying to figure out the playbook. Yeah, it's hard not to pick the Chargers. And I'm not a big believer in the Chargers this year just because of their offensive line troubles. It's hard not to pick the Chargers here. And I will have issues with the Chargers later on in the season just because it's not just the offensive line injuries and the injuries in general. But I just don't believe in Justin Herbert later in the season. I just don't. He's unbelievable in the regular season. He's clearly fallen victim to bad coaching. But now that the coaching's good, it's all on him. And I still can't get – I cannot unsee that loss during wild card weekend. But that's a conversation we'll have in a couple of months when it probably happens again. All right. Moving on to our next game. This is a good one. Buccaneers coming off a loss, both the Bills and the Buccaneers coming off losses. What the Bills have going for them is they are hosting the Bucs here. Buccaneers are a warmer weather team. I haven't seen the forecast for this one. Tampa's obviously
41 and sunny.
41 and sunny. Okay, so I don't think that's the type of game where weather really plays any sort of a factor. That's football weather. November football weather, especially for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tampa Bay has been known to be kind of grittier and still even in the colder weather games too. Like, even though they're, so to speak, a warm weather team, like, I feel like, Jameis years, the Brady years, even like the Baker years. I mean, granted, not a lot of cold weather, but when they are in the cold weather, they perform.
I mean, okay, Baker literally doesn't count. Comes from Cleveland, well, and Egbuka comes from Ohio State. So, a little chilly over there.
Yeah. True. So you're at a point they've been hampered by injuries. Guys, what are our picks? Chris?
I do like Buffalo at home here. They need a win badly. A loss like that last week, you need to come out firing, and they got the added benefit of being at home for a tough contest. And Vegas is giving him the line at 5.5 as well, which I was a little surprised about, but at first, but like you add in the fact Buffalo's at home, as you mentioned, Tampa's a little injury riddled here. And the Tampa secondary isn't all that. I think that the Bills O-line can hold up a serious pass rush, in my opinion, but I think the Bills are going to get this one.
I don't think that. I do not trust the Bills' offensive line. I do not trust the Bills' defense to keep Egbuka under wraps. I do not trust them to stop Kate Otten, nor do I trust them to stop Tez Johnson. Furthermore, it has been well established for many years that I think Sean McDermott is an unserious coach. And though I also have my reservations about Todd Bowles, I definitely think Sean McDermott's seat might be a smidgen warmer than what a lot of people are expecting. I mean, I know Bills Mafia isn't happy. And what it comes down to is if they're going to win, it's going to have to be Josh Allen, because James Cook has been solid. He's very hit or miss. He's either going to give you 150 yards on the ground or like 30. And I'm sorry, I know you pay him the big bucks. I just don't think Khalil Shakir is a wide receiver one. And it's basically going to be Josh Allen versus the Buccaneers. Their strength in numbers, give me Tampa.
Yeah. The more that I look at Buffalo, even in their wins, they had that one blowout against the Panthers. Other than that, they've really been reeling. And I can't unsee that loss to the Dolphins. I can't unsee it. That was as bad as it gets. And regarding Tampa, yeah, maybe they're not world beaters without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Bucky Irving. By the way, Chris Godwin and Bucky Irving are supposed to be back this week. They're back on the practice field. Yep. But this is a gripe of mine when it comes to injuries. I think it's a logical fallacy to look at a team that's injury riddled and say, because that they're still winning, it means they're doing more with less. Yes, they are. They technically have less than what they had, but that doesn't mean the guys who replace them aren't playing well. And Tampa's offensive line has been riddled with injuries this year, but their line has been one of the best in football still.
Mm-hmm.
So, even when they had their replacement in, that doesn't mean Baker's doing more with less. It's not a lesser offensive line. They just have different guys who are there. And those other guys were more qualified, but these guys who are replacing them are still pretty good. It's the same thing with the wide receiver thing. Oh my God, Baker Mayfield's playing without his wide receiver one, his wide receiver two, his wide receiver four. Without mentioning the fact that the one is Mike Evans. Yes, that's good. The two is Chris Godwin. The three is a wide receiver one, and it's Emeka Egbuka. And Tez Johnson has been pretty nice as a wide receiver too. And Kate Otten is a solid tight end.
He's a great tight end.
Also, yes. Sterling Shepard showing flashes of his prime as well.
Yep.
Exactly. So it doesn't mean that you're doing more with less. It just means you're playing without your starters. And I get that. I do. And they probably would be better if they had all these guys back. But it doesn't mean that they're supposed to play terribly, because the guys who are there are producing. In a long-winded answer, give me the Buccaneers.
Quick question, though, Adam. Would you say, though, that that Herbert with his lines doing more with less, considering the fact his lines hurt, but it's the opposite of Tampa's where it's terrible? Just wondering.
I think it's more that Herbert doesn't need much time to throw.
Fair.
And he has a bunch of good targets for him. And also, it's gone viral. The
PFF rankings.
Yes,
right?
The PFF rankings that it shows, and it's they're all like bottom of the league.
Yeah, they're like four out of the five are like bottom three. Some are the worst, which is why I was asking. It's not a gotcha. I just wondered what your take was.
There's been a lot of sucks. That is enough. That is one where they're injury riddled and the guys who are replacing them have been bad.
Fair.
I've been seeing a lot of NFL players like JJ Watt, Chris Long, were talking shit about PFF and like, especially Sunday Night Football using like the PFF rankings. Right. And yeah. They're just like, those rankings are just so inaccurate. And like, not, I'm not saying that the Chargers O-line isn't bad. Right. But it's maybe undervaluing the player that's actually on the field most of the time.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or I mean, like it is, calling them shit when they're not actually shit.
It's difficult to there's no stats out there for offensive linemen. So yeah. PFF is useful when grading linemen, but if you're going to look me in the eyes and try to grade, let's say a quarterback or a wide receiver, when we can just see, you know, their yards, the receptions, relative to how many targets they get. It's like, all right, let's chill out here. It's an analytics driven argument. It's useful when it comes to linemen, but
that's pretty much it.
That's it.
I wouldn't even say it's that useful for linemen.
Yeah. It's
horrible for DBs though. I don't know if you like look at their
DBs. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like actually wrong. I feel like half of it's just rage bait anyway. So what's our next game?
Okay. We have the Bears who are visiting the Vikings. JJ McCarthy making another start. This is a divisional game. And if I'm not mistaken, this matchup happened earlier in the year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
week one.
JJ McCarthy in his first start had a nice little comeback there against the Bears. Now, things are different. Teams take some more time to gel. The Bears look a lot better right now. But I do think that this is going to be a much closer game than what the records would make it out to be. Chris.
I like the Bears in this one, and here's my reasoning why. I see the Vikings as, you know, they're a great defense, but JJ McCarthy unfortunately he's shown some flashes. He's had some good games, a couple, but not many to start out. I haven't been the biggest fan of JJ McCarthy recently, but I've kind of been a fan of Caleb Williams a little bit. Kind of have, or just more so the Bears in general. I mean, you look at this, at the teams that they played, and yeah, a lot of them were some tight ones, like some random tight ones, like the Raiders, obviously the Commanders before Jaden Daniels got hurt, lost by 14 against the Ravens, and of course, having to come back last week, but they're coming away with victories in games that they wouldn't have otherwise gotten without Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson has been a huge part in where they are right now. They're 6-3, which is huge. I like the Bears in this game.
CJ?
I respectfully disagree. I got to go with the Vikings here. So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of JJ McCarthy, but for me, this is the Bears' first, like, real test. You know, you're going to, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to have to go to Minneapolis here. You're going into the Longboat, and you are going to be going up against a ferocious Vikings defense in front of their fans. And even though JJ McCarthy's line might not be great, their running game is coming back now. They have Aaron Jones, and he's looked pretty decent in his return. Of course, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. He has a lot of mouths to feed. He might not be the best, but he's got weapons galore. And as for the Bears, I like Caleb Williams. I like Ben Johnson, but their run game's been very streaky. You know, one day it's DeAndre Swift. One day it's Kyle Monongai. One day it's neither. Like, the Bears are a little too one-dimensional, and I think that plays exactly into what a Brian Flores defense wants you to do. So I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be good, but I think it's going to be the Vikings.
Give me the Bears. As far as this team has, it's really come on in the past few weeks. And I think Caleb Williams has shown a lot of improvement. I want JJ McCarthy to be good so bad because everything that he's been doing, he's a little over the top with calling himself nine or calling.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
If it's a third person. And I think sometimes his reactions can be over the top. Like he's trying to like aura farm or something, but I think what he's trying to, I respect the effort. And if he can just be a little more subtle with it and also like be an elite quarterback, I think what he's doing, what he's trying to be is good for the game. I think there's way too many quarterbacks who are just too like straight faced, dare I say robotic, too nice and respectful. Like you can be, you can have some respect, but I think I want to see what I like what we see in Jackson Dart. I like what we get in him. And I think JJ McCarthy is trying to be something like that. I want McCarthy to be good, but I don't think he's there yet. If he will get there at all. So yeah, give me the Bears. It doesn't matter what kind of supporting cast you have for the Vikings on any team. If the quarterback isn't there, then you're not winning your games. It's just that simple. The quarterback can do more with less. He can make a roster do better than it actually is. But if you don't have a good quarterback, or at least one that's underdeveloped, you're not doing anything. Give me the Bears.
I also look back at week one and like how JJ McCarthy only had one good quarter. Like the Bears were dominating that game. Or the Bears defense was dominating JJ McCarthy for three quarters of that game.
Yeah, but he made the throws when he absolutely needed.
He did. He did. He did.
You don't always see it in the stat sheet, though.
You don't always see it in the stat sheet. But you kind of saw it in that one. That was he put up a nice stat line. It's in the end of the game. But that's why we play four quarters. So yep. Again, I want him to be good. I think he has some potential there. Let's see how he can do. All right. Texans visiting the Titans. This should be an easy one. But don't forget, CJ Stroud has just been ruled out for this game. Davis Mills. What are we thinking?
CJ, you want to guess the over-under on this sucker?
Oh, you took down the ticker. Damn you.
I was wondering why I did that.
Yes.
Oh, sneaky Pete, you. So over-under, so I imagine the Texans are favored. Wait, points? Just in
points,
general?
Or points. Over-under on points.
Oh, I'll watch it be like 39.5 or something like that.
Ooh, 37.5. Right
oh,
idea.
Oh, gross. Oh, God. That is terrible.
Yeah. It's going to be a disgusting game. It is. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to expect Davis Mills to have the same type of performance in the fourth quarter of the game against the Jags. But, I mean, the Texans defense is just going to mow down the Titans offense, right? I mean, that should be what happens. And then whatever happens on the other side of the football, who cares? Yeah. So give me the Texans.
All right. CJ, be quick.
Texans. Well, I'm sorry. After that three-score comeback against Jacksonville with Davis Mills and that defense going up against the Titans, where McCoy somehow looks worse than Callahan, Texans, and it's not that close. Give me General Mills.
General Mills, I like that one. Yeah, yeah give me.
I didn't come up.
Give
with
me
it,
the but... Texans. At, I know. I still like it.
Okay, I'm just saying. Texans. I don't want to take credit.
Texans, give me the Texans. I don't know if Cam Ward can play. I'd lean no. I didn't like him as a prospect. They're just there's nothing to like about Tennessee, and it's not even that I like Houston. Houston has a really good defense, and they have some good targets for Davis Mills to throw to. Obviously, you're without CJ Stroud, but it's more so, again, it's one of those not in a good way type of things. Tennessee's not good. Tennessee should have one of the top picks in this year's draft. So, yeah, give me Houston.
Tennessee doesn't even like Tennessee. The tickets are as low as $12. Disgusting.
Yeah, I did see that. Like,
I'm convinced their owner doesn't either. But you have something that's good, and then you just get rid of it, and you say, you know what, Mike Vrabel, go ahead, go over to New England. We don't need you. We don't need to be good.
That's
and trade away AJ Brown. Literally, it all fell apart once you got rid of AJ Brown because it made you one-dimensional. But yeah, we're not talking about the 2021 Titans. We're talking about the 25 ones, which you would think there's not that big of a difference since there's not that much time between then and then. Ugh. But good Lord, how they have fallen. All right. And I believe, yes, this is our last early afternoon game. We got the Packers who are visiting the Giants. So important housekeeping note here. No Jackson Dart in this one. He's on his, what, his fourth concussion at this
Something
point?
Something like that. Yeah. But we got Jameis Winston, baby. Oh, come on now. Come on.
Kid
now.
Needs to, yeah, side note though, kid needs to, he needs to learn how to take hits.
Yeah.
Good God. It's yeah, the same thing with Drake.
Sam Scadaboo are going to have full fledged like Antonio Brown CTE by year three.
Yeah.
It's getting bad. It's getting bad. I do like Jackson Dart though. Jameis Winston. Oh, the guy who had to get LASIK surgery because his vision was so bad. I love his comments.
30
on
touchdowns
it.
Without it. 30 touchdowns.
And 30
picks.
Yeah.
Mr. 30
and 30 picks.
Got that future on ESPN.
They missed the playoffs by one game. And they missed the playoffs by one game.
And he had 5,000 yards, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Such a random season. And I saw this one Instagram post saying, like, I can't wait for this guy to be in the media. And I saw someone respond saying, I mean, technically he is if you include him interviewing that fish.
I remember that, yeah.
And he had a CBS mic too, so he was, yeah, bro, he's there. He's there. Just bring him on. Bring him on the pregame shows. All right. Guys, I still feel like this should be an easy pick. What are we thinking?
Yeah, it's the Packers, but people are starting to call for LaFleur's job all of a sudden, or at least like giving up his play calling duties, which
after that Eagles game, yeah, you can definitely say he's a head scratcher, but much like you, I'm going with the Packers, but this small part of me still thinks the Packers are going to win, but it's going to be uglier than it should be. They might have to sweat this one out, but I still think they're going to win.
Yeah, like, look, this game is going to be infinitely more fun just because Jameis Winston is playing, but this could easily be, like, the Packers have scored only 14 points in their last two games.
All right, we do need to be quick because we're already at 37 minutes and we haven't left the early afternoons. I'm taking the Packers. It's pretty easy. One thing to notice, though, and this is something not just Matt LaFleur, no Tucker Kraft, as we know, but also no Jaden Reed anymore. Your best pass catchers are Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. They did take a kid, Matthew Golden, in the first round, but he's hardly been used, which, I mean, you could also put on Matt LaFleur. So pay attention to that, the injury bug on that side. And they're running back. They can only lean on Josh Jacobs for so long before his age starts to catch up with him.
They can only run inside zone so many times.
Yeah. So, all right. That does it for early afternoon. We're going to move to our late afternoon slate, as well as Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. That's next. This is the Fumblerooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumblerooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. Adam Wright, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. We already covered our game of the week, the Seahawks visiting the Rams, but this one should be a fairly easy one. We have the 49ers taking on the Cardinals. Chris.
Niners. I see them getting, honestly, get right game. I'll consider this a get right game, even though it's a divisional game. Cardinals, I don't see much out of them. And the Niners have been a team, even with all the injuries, still up to par. Even with the 16, they were still fighting to the very end last week against the Rams.
All right, CJ, sorry.
There you go. Do you have any? No.
No. I was going to say, hot take. I'm going with Arizona. This is my big upset of the week. Because I like Jacoby Brissett. I do. The fact that the offense looks better with Brissett and he's putting up better, cleaner numbers than Murray did, I'm sorry. I got to go there because Mac Jones' backup bump is wavering. And on top of that, he's barely even takes any deep shots. I think it's going to be an ugly game, but I'm tilting Arizona. Huh?
I said it's because he can't, but yeah, that's another
thing. I know it's because he can't. As a Pats fan, we know. Their Niners are very Christian McCaffrey reliant, very injury prone. And hey, I like Jacoby Brissett to grind out a slugfest win in the desert.
Yeah. Give me the Niners. Give me the Niners. Mac Jones has still been playing very well. He threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Rams. I mean, most of it's garbage time, but touchdowns are touchdowns. And they are currently in the playoffs if they started today. They're doing all right.
You want to hear what Mac Jones is projected?
What's he projected?
Sure.
3,600 yards, 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
That sounds like his rookie year.
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Amazing what happens when you have a competent coaching staff, huh?
And a coach is not out to get you.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 But that coach also wanted Davis Mills instead of Mac Jones. So, yeah. I think rot away in UNC, Bill Belichick. Rot away. And you're probably not going to last long there either.
Thank you for 6 rings, though.
Thank you for 6 rings. Also, friendly advice, dump your girlfriend. She's evil.
Thank you for 6 rings, Tom Brady.
Hey, that's a debate for another day. Come on now.
I'll give him 30%. Listen, we have another one that I made a push. I tried for our game of the week, but it's hard not to pick against Rams Seahawks. But we have the Chiefs who are visiting the Broncos. And the reason that I push for this one is because the Broncos have a chance to do the entire AFC playoff picture a service. They have a chance to crush the Chiefs' odds at winning the division, knocking them down to 5-5. The Broncos would be 9-2. Broncos have a reasonably tough schedule down the stretch, but so do the Chiefs. And going 5-5, I don't see the Chiefs winning out after this. But this is one where the Broncos, they have one of the better home field advantages in all of football. It's a very tough place to play. The previous dynasty, the New England Patriots, used to have fits whenever they had to go and travel over there. Even when they won, it just seems like they barely squeaked it out.
Or just never would.
Or they did. Yeah, or they didn't. 2013, 2015, those games were nightmares. Chris.
Twice in 2015, actually.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, 05, they always had issues.
05 yeah. Playoffs. Yeah, anyways.
And they won the next year.
Yeah. In this game, I just don't. I don't have any faith in the Broncos anymore. I don't have faith. They're as fraudulent gets. And of course, as I say this, there's a chance I'm going to watch the Patriots only put up 10 points against the Jets for all I know tonight. God forbid that happens. I hope not. But same. In a game like this, Chiefs backs against the wall, they know it's at stake. I don't think that they're completely out of the division race if they lose, because they'll just be 3 games back, especially with the Chargers being hampered. But you still need a win here. You need a win on the road, get some momentum. I like the Chiefs this week. Give me Kansas City.
I'm also going to have to go Kansas City. And I'm just not sold on Denver. Denver seems to be medically incapable of playing an entire game. Look, if you're lucky, you get a half. Usually you get a quarter. They win, but, I will say one thing. It's in Mile High, and they've got that ferocious front 7. So I think it's going to be an ugly game, but Mahomes is still very clutch. I have my questions this season about the Chiefs themselves, but I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City grinds out like a 17-13 win.
What are you your head over there for, huh?
I'll tell you why. Their two losses this year were against the Colts by 1 point in Indianapolis, by the way, and the Chargers by a field goal. Listen, I'm not saying that they're winning pretty. They're certainly not. And they're barely eking them out. And it doesn't look great. And I don't think Bo Nix is an elite quarterback. I don't even think he's that good of a quarterback. I think he's okay. I think he's a good quarterback at best. But what he's average. Tell you about Bo Nix is that kid competes. He doesn't quit. And there's correlation to causation when you look at how they play their best football at the end of the game, when it matters most. He may not be the best quarterback even in this. He may not even be the third best quarterback in this division. Probably second best. But he brings out his best when he absolutely needs to. And that's why when I look at the Broncos, I think they win this game. They have home field advantage. It's extremely tough to play over there. And also, this is another part that we haven't talked about yet in this portion of the segment. The Broncos are the best front seven in football. The Kansas City Chiefs have one of the worst offensive lines in football. We have seen before that Patrick Mahomes cannot survive bad offensive line play. And the Chiefs' defensive line has not been all that much to write home about this year. They've been a really good defense in recent years. They're still solid this year, but I think that's a matchup that Bo Nix wins. And I think Sean Payton's going to come out with a good game plan. I think Broncos win this game. They go 9-2. And again, I think they crush the Chiefs' chances of winning out and getting that AFC West title. And even if they make it to the playoffs, which I think they will, they're going to be at a lower seed, which means the entire road for them to the Super Bowl goes on the road. I think they'll be doing the entire AFC playoff picture a service. And I don't think, if that happens, I don't think they make it to the AFC championship again. It's going to be the first time in almost a decade. It'll be glorious. All right. And I believe that was our last game. That was our last of the slate.
Nope.
We have one more.
Ravens.
Yep. You have the Ravens hosting the Browns. Guys?
Guess the over-under.
Why do you do this to me? Why? Why for do you put me through these trials and tribulations? You tasked me so.
7.5.
Well, that's the spread.
Oh, over-under. 40.5.
Ooh. Oh, so close. 39.5.
Suckage. That's what I guessed last time. You know, man, the Vegas probably taking their marching orders from, I don't know, some other foreign country probably. I don't know.
All right. Let's try to get through this game because we still have two more.
Baltimore. Dylan Gabriel shits his pants.
Ravens. Yeah. That's for you, Tuck.
Ravens. They're going to be, by the time it's December, they're going to be above 500.
Agreed.
All right. That was it for that. And here we have Sunday Night Football. Lions at Eagles. Chris?
It's going to be a damn good game, I can tell you that much. A lot of questions for the Eagles, especially offensively. Defensively, they took care of business. But offensively, boy. Nothing good on that side of the football. AJ Brown basically telling fantasy owners to drop him and that this year has been a complete shit show. His words, not mine, but may as well be my words because I agree. This year for AJ Brown has been a shit show. Detroit, you mentioned it, Adam. Yeah, like there's some games where Detroit is a little weird, but when their offense is humming, oh boy, it's humming. I like the lines in this game. Even on the road, prime time in Philly. Give me Detroit. Not like a sneaky upset, but, you know, we'll call it an upset. Technically, it's an upset. So give me Detroit an upset.
See ya.
This is the Fluke Bowl, folks. Philly's offense with the offensively challenged Kevin Petrullo is a joke. The Lions, every time it looks like they're about to, you know, legitimize themselves, they fail the test. It's basically who's going to be less fluky. And honestly, you could flip a coin. I'm expecting a good game. I'm expecting fireworks. I'm expecting some nonsense as well. But honestly, I just feel like the Lions are a tougher team with a better locker room. And that's why I'm going with the Lions. Because how do you think those A.J. Brown comments are being received by the rest of his team? Probably not well. And I think, and also I do question Philly's mental toughness. I don't question Detroit's. I question their execution, but I never question their intention. So at the end of the day, I'm thinking Detroit squeaks out a win, probably like 24-20.
This is probably a better one than I give it credit for, at least in hindsight. You have the 7-2 number one seed Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Detroit Tiger. Jesus Christ.
The Tigers. Wow.
I had the name in my head and then I just went for it. The Detroit Lions, another cat. 6-3. They're the three seed. It does have playoff implications. I just feel like it's going to be a letdown as far as the game goes. And I also, listen, I'm going to strongly disagree as far as the Eagles go. And I understand that they have these issues in the locker room, but when have they not? They have had a really bizarre ability to overcome, especially from A.J. Brown. Always. And it's what's even stranger is it's right after the comments when they play better. And this is why, like, earlier on in the year, he made some strange, really bizarre comments about his playing time, about him getting the ball. And then it turns out, you know, the offense played better after that. It's almost like he gives Petrullo a kick in the ass to get moving. And he goes, oh, yeah, I have A.J. Brown on this team. And then they start playing well as an offense. And let's be clear. A.J. Brown is not wrong when he's talking about the offense right now. We're just pissed about the way that he's bringing it up, rightfully so. But it almost always results in better offense. And for that reason, I'm taking the Eagles. And I strongly believe that this Eagles team is very battle-tested. They've won the games against the above 500 teams. And every time that they face adversity, they overcome it. There's a reason that this Eagles team has been to the Super Bowl twice already, has won double-digit games in three straight seasons, has made the playoffs four straight years, is on their way to yet another playoff berth and probably a high playoff seed. I still believe in this Eagles team. Give me the Eagles in this one.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Monday Night Football. Yep.
I also think that they just, a lot of times after this, like something like this happens, they just try to force feed them the ball a little too much.
Yes, but they also need to get him the ball.
They need to get him the ball. Then it comes to, yeah. Anyways,
he's not wrong. He's not wrong. We're just like, why the hell are you talking like this? Like, go behind closed doors. But it freaking works, man. It works. Every time. It happened last year too. And they won the Super Bowl. Bro was reading a book during a playoff game on the sideline. And they still blew doors. It was awesome. Listen, they're the most miserable Super Bowl winning team I've ever seen. That's what I will say. But they do win. So I'm not going to question their methods until it bites them in the ass. All right, Cowboys Raiders, this is our last game, and let's make this a quick one because this matchup also sucks.
Chris. Cowboys by a million, unfortunately. Raiders defense is going to be able to hold CeeDee and Pickens and Javonte.
CJ?
Cowboys, pretty easy. That's all. Just Cowboys. What do you want? The Raiders are dead in the water.
Yep.
Yeah, Cowboys. Cowboys at least have some offense to them. Their defense still sucks. I don't care if they just got that kid from the Jets on their interior. They're focused so bad. They're focused so much on run defense that they forget that rushing the passer is a little more important, which I don't know what to say at this point about Jerry Jones. What a freaking joke. All right. We usually talk about this off air, but we record this in two parts. Do we want to go over are we going over the Patriots?
We go over all the games. Why not? Why can't we go over the Patriots?
We never go over Thursday night. Just because we're Pats fans doesn't mean we have to do this. We're going to break down the game after it happens, as is usual. You can't rock the boat here.
All right. I would be really upset because, like, Pats are on primetime. That's all.
Yeah, we can save it for later, dude.
All right, yeah. All right. Even though they're playing the Jets, and they're probably going to blow doors. If it's an upset, then it'll be worth talking about.
And
I'm going to just nuke my house from orbit, like, live on air. So that's just the way things are.
If the Jets somehow, some way win. No Garrett Wilson. That too.
Yeah. No, and they traded away their only good corner. So, and
their corner two's out as well.
Their corner two is out. Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. We'll talk about that next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
I've always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Fellas, New England Patriots for Thursday night football. They have won 27-14. Nice one. Ooh. In the most unbiased way possible, we're going to cover this segment, even though we have our biases. But listen, so the Patriots allowed a touchdown on their opening drive. Yet again, this has been a theme for them. They start their defenses start out slow, and then they tighten up as the game goes on. The Patriots, they responded right back and they scored two touchdowns in the second quarter. They scored another one in the third to make it 21-7. Jets got another touchdown, but Patriots answered with a field goal of their own. Final score, 27-14. Drake May, 73% of his passes he completed tonight. He had another nice game. 281 passing yards. He had a touchdown as well. Did not turn the ball over. He moves back into first in the MVP race. That race is skin tight to those who follow it. He's right barely ahead by about 10 points in the betting odds, according to DraftKings. Chris, your thoughts?
Can't be mad about Pat's win. If you're a Pats fan, definitely would have liked to. Obviously, there were some drives where, you know, you would have loved to have seen some points on the board, aka the end of the first half, and then, of course, going 3 and out to start the second half. Other than that, thought it was a good win. I mean, playing the Jets, wasn't too worried about it, to be honest. Would have also liked to have seen us put up 30, but Lord, man, like Drake May.
Okay.
That's all I got.
CJ?
You know, I know it wasn't the sexiest win all of us fans wanted, but when you take consideration that it was a divisional game on Thursday night football, Pats were banged up from that Tampa game. You know, Vrabel even said, you know, you've earned the right to be tired. So, yeah, obviously it wasn't going to be as sexy as we all wanted. But at the end of the day, you know, Drake May's out there making plays. You would like to see it capitalized more. But like I said, considering the facts, a divisional matchup on Thursday night, you can't really ask for a whole lot more. Drake May keeps showing flashes, you know, some really good passes there. You know, he had a beautiful deep ball to Hollins that defense got a lucky hand on, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. He had it. He did. Remember the thing? Remember that play he made against the Bills? Yeah, whatever you said.
So was the tip that you also said was a lucky play.
No, he got a hand on it. Goober could just put their hand up there, but that's not why we're here. What I was going to say, though, remember that play against the Bills where there was a guy, like, right on his neck, and he just flipped it out to Diggs?
Yeah.
For a first down? He did it again. He just did that again.
Yeah, it was a nice play. Like, he kind of flipped it. It almost was like two-handed. He just pushed it over.
A basketball almost. Like
two defenders who were swatting at the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Also, I want to point out Travion Henderson, rookie out of The Ohio State University with a hat trick. Two rushing touchdowns and a receiving. Hey, that's just good cooking. All in all, good road win. You know, Milton Williams got banged up. Hopefully, as a Pats fan, he's okay. But, you know, you've got a good long time to rest.
All right. I promised I'd be as unbiased as possible, and I'm going to keep that promise. So they do have probably the easiest schedule in all of football. That's just a fact. Hmm. However, there's a difference between what you were asked to do and what you were capable of doing. They've been blowing out these teams, all of these bad teams. They've been beating them in the way that you're supposed to beat them if you're a good team. Look, you can only play who's on your schedule. That being said, the Patriots are also 3-1 this season against teams 500 or better. So they are kind of battle tested. They're beating the teams that you would want the good teams that you would want them to beat in order for us to sort of put them to the test and have them pass those. Now I've had and I'm going to segue this into our 400 episode little talk here, and which is that the Patriots have. There have always been, I have said, three very important factors to lasting success in the NFL. You have the elite quarterback, you have the coach, and you have a functional offensive line. Not elite, not a great offensive line, not even a good offensive line. Functional. Year in, year out, just invest in that offensive line to make sure that you keep the quarterback on his feet. The Patriots have all three of those. And your head coach, he's currently calling the shots in the front office and prioritizes those trenches. So you can pretty much bet on it that as long as Drake May makes the right decisions with the football, that he's going to be safe for years to come. You have a defensive-minded head coach who also gets out of the way on the offensive side of the ball and a very good offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. This is the recipe for lasting success. And that brings me into our 400 episodes. So as you guys know, as I mentioned in our when we introduced this episode today, this is 400 for us. December 9th, 2020. So that's coming up very soon, our five-year anniversary. 400 episodes ago, the Patriots were just completing what was a 7-9 season with washed-up Cam Newton and Bill Belichick into his first full season in 20 years without Tom Brady. 400 episodes ago, you had Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots, going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to put up a Pro Bowl caliber season, 40 touchdowns in back-to-back years, and won a Super Bowl in his first year without you. 400 episodes that we had to cover where the Patriots were no longer on top and, in fact, even became the laughingstock of the NFL. 400 episodes ago, we had to watch the Patriots fall down to the cellars pretty much. And you watched Bill Belichick tank this entire team, get fired, go to UNC, where he also sucks. You had to tank for a quarterback where you got lucky that you struck gold on. 400 episodes where us as devoted Patriots fans running a blanket podcast had to put on a face and be passionate towards other teams besides our own. 400 episodes that we have endured that. And now we are sitting here 400 episodes later. The Patriots are 9-2. They currently sit right now as the number one seed in football. The New England Patriots are back. And for us to be sitting here having endured, I understand it's only 5 years. I get it. I know a lot of other fan bases have gone through more. But us personally, we love football so much that we are willing to talk about other teams in a very passionate way while also suffering through the losses of our favorite team. We have endured that. Most people just turn the TV off and they never watch football again until they're good again. We had to keep talking about it. And that was a very difficult thing for us to do. So here we are. We sat through all of these episodes. I think that's something for us to be proud of. We continued talking about football, even as our favorite football team was one of the worst teams in the entire league for years. And karma has rewarded us. Couldn't have done it without you guys. And thank you all for sticking around. For those of you who have been listening throughout the years, for those who have been following our podcast, watching our reels, looking at our funny memes that we put up, keeping up with our news posts. Again, the bounces have not been going the Patriots' way for all of these years, and it feels just poetic that on our final segment of our 400th episode, that the Patriots move to 9-2, they move into the number one seed. Your quarterback is a leading MVP candidate. Your coach is the leading coach of the year candidate. And I mean, right now, the AFC is wide open. They have a really strong chance. I'm not gonna sit here and be biased and try to say they're going to win it all. They're gonna win the Super Bowl. Drake May is gonna win MVP. Mike Vrabel, coach of the year. But they have a strong chance at it. And as we have sat here, I think we deserve to be able to say, as we have sat here and have been unbiased towards other teams, have been covering this entire blanket NFL podcast in an unbiased manner, we deserve to sit here in an unbiased manner, say Drake May is the leading MVP candidate right now. Vrabel is the leading coach of the year candidate. And the New England Patriots are leading the pack in the AFC and have a very strong chance to win the Super Bowl this year. That feels great after all of these years of covering it. So thank you guys. Chris, CJ, you guys have anything else to say before we end the show today?
I love Drake May. That's all.
I love Drake May. All right. That'll be it.
Hey, come on. I was just going to say.
I thought you were going to start talking.
No. I was deferring to Chris. But for me, I love Drake May. It's been great doing with you guys. I mean, hell, I remember, you know, we've come a long way from saying, oh, the QB controversy with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. You know, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, guess what? We got one now. Yeah. I can go another 400 strong. Let's keep it up, gang.
Yeah. I mean, I completely forgot about the Zappy situation. Good Lord.
Yeah, that was gross.
And one more thing for real this time. Remember when they said there was a QB controversy in New England between Joe Milton and Drake May?
No one said that. Anyone who said that was an idiot.
Fake, fake headlines they do. It's like, oh yeah, you go comment saying, oh, Joe Milton might be him. Yeah. Well, I got two words for you. Drake May.
Yeah. All right. We're going to end the show here. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 PM Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast with the latest coverage of the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.